Last week, if you were here, Pastor Nate started a series, put on the new man. Excellent job. No corrections that I know of at this point. But he talked about repent, right? What are the things? Repent, renew, repeat. Great message and great foundation, strong foundation for where we're going in the series. And encourage you to listen to the podcast or get the CD from the Resource Center and listen to that. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. We'll read our foundation scripture. This is a great series to start our year off with and begin 2014 with. Ephesians 4, verse 22, I'll read from the Amplified. It says, "Strip yourselves of your former nature. Put off and discard your old unrenewed self, which characterized your previous manner of life and becomes corrupt through lusts and desires that spring from delusion. And be constantly renewed." That's good. "And be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. Put on the new nature, the regenerate self, created in God's image, Godlike in true righteousness and holiness." So it's talking about putting on the new man. And Nate brought this up, but you can only understand putting on the new man in light of who we are. We are a three-part being. We're a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. So that's the three parts of man. The spirit of a person, of each one of us has a spirit. That's the part that communicates with God. That's the part that's alive to God. That's the part when this body is laid down and put in the ground, goes to be with the Lord. So that spirit is eternal. And that's why it's so vital that we share the gospel with people, because the Bible talks about the destination of the eternity of that spirit is heaven or hell. Two places. And I want everybody I know to go to heaven. And we don't need to have a message on heaven and hell, but that's the destination. So it's the spirit is alive to God, communicates with God. And the Holy Spirit lives in our bodies with our spirit. Then we have a soul. The soul is our mind, which is our reasoning, our intellect, our personality, our will, which is our decision maker. The will is where you make the decisions and where you decide. And our emotions, which is our feelings. Now our body, this earth suit, this covering for my soul and my spirit, is involves senses. Seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, and touching. That's the senses. Now, when you become a new creature, a new creation, a new creature, really becoming a new man, what happens is, through the power of God, through the resurrection power of God, that spirit that's dead because of the sin of Adam, that resurrection power comes in and recreates your spirit. Doesn't recreate your mind, I mean your soul, doesn't recreate your body. It impacts those things initially, but it recreates and resurrects the spirit man on the inside of you. And we call that being born again, receiving Jesus, getting saved, new life, whatever you want to call it, salvation. That's what's happening. But how many know that's just not enough? That's good, and if that's all that happens, I mean, I would rather go to heaven than hell. I'd rather be in God's family than not be in His family. But if we don't grow in what happens after we're saved, then we won't be able to partake of the benefits here on the earth. And that's what we want to do, is partake of what God has for us. Yes, He has an inheritance for us in eternity, but He's got some things for us here in the earth. He calls it the abundant life. And I want you, God wants you to be able to walk in that here on the earth. Now, we talk about the whole man, and we want all parts about who we are healthy. I mean, the whole man for me is spirit, soul, body, socially, financially. We, you know, I learned this in school at ORU. We talked about the whole man. But the way God set this up, and this is vital if we're going to put on the new man, the way God set this up is we're to be led by our spirit and not by our soul or our body. Do you see that? The leadership in our lives, and it's really the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit leading our spirit, who then leads our soul that impacts our body. Do you see that? And that's very important, because if you are led by your soul or led by your body, the problem there, Proverbs says, there is a way to man that seems right, but the way that of that is death. So the soul in the body can easily be tricked without the leadership of the Holy Spirit or leadership of your spirit. And that's really important. This just really helps you understand people. It understands people's behavior and what they do. If they're not led by their spirit or led by the Holy Spirit, they're not going... I mean, they may be have trained their bodies. They may have got some knowledge in their minds and be able to do things, but they're not going to be able to love or live the Christian life without the leadership of their spirit. And what we're trying to do is, you know, in putting on the new man, is being led by our spirit, tapping into our spirit, finding out who that spirit is, and releasing that. Rather than living our lives from outside in, we're living from the inside out. That's God's plan. Now, each part of man must be fed and exercised. I hate to tell you that. And we're looking at 2014, and Nate mentioned this, and resolutions and goals, and those are good things. And I love the new year. I love the possibilities, the opportunities, you know, put the old year behind us. And it may have been the best year ever, but, I mean, this year can be better. But if you have a kind of a rough year, it's always nice to draw the line, put that thing behind me, and, man, we got new things ahead of us. And so we're looking at our goals, and we do have things for our body, and that's important. We need to exercise our bodies. We need to feed our bodies well. I mean, you can know, have all this knowledge of God, but if you're sick and broke in bed, it's difficult for you to do anything for the kingdom of God. Then there's the soul, and we'll get into this in a moment, and it's vital to have your mind transformed and changed and renewed, because it's the connector between the spirit and the natural realm. You can have all these great things in your spirit, but if you can't get to it, what good is it? And you've got to be able to tap into that. And so it's vital to have the soul washed and clean, and just let that, you know, let things from your spirit flow. But the mind has to be exercised. The mind has to be used. You can't develop a strong mind watching cartoons every day. Now, if you watch cartoons, that's fine. It's fine. But if that's all you feed on, that's Gary. that's not going to produce any mental power, right? So your mind has got to be fed with some good things. Your mind has to be exercised. You've got to use your mind. What do they say? Use it or lose it. But there is your spirit. And so we're looking at 2014. The most important thing to be fed and exercised is your spirit. Right? That's the most important thing. Now, how many here have goals for 2014 to be in better shape spiritually? Because that's going to be vital to your workout program. That's going to be vital to anything you want to do with your mind. That's going to be vital to anything you do with your finances. That's going to be vital to anything you do with your relationships. For your spirit to be strong. And so, I like what it says in the previous scripture, constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's what we need to do in 2014. We need to be constantly renewed. You can't live on prior revelation. You can't live on past revelation. Otherwise, what happens is you're operating on fumes. I don't want you operating on fumes. I want your oil changed. I want the transmission working properly. I mean, I want the right kind of gasoline, your tank full. I don't want you just getting by. I want you excelling in God. And if we're constantly feeding and renewing our minds, there's no limit to where we can go in God. All of the other areas of our lives, there's limits. But there's no limits to our spirit. As far as the rest of your life, there's no limit. So let's look over in Romans 12. Y'all excited about being in church today? Excited about the Word? Romans 12, verse 2. It says, "Do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external," this is amplified version, "external superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind." See, that's the process we need to begin the moment we're born again. The renewal of the mind. The entire renewal of your mind by its new ideals and its new attitude. I like that. "So that you may prove for yourself what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you." So the Word of God is critical to mind renewal. The Word of God is critical. It's the food. It's the thing necessary for you to constantly renew and wash and change your mind. And so 2014, again, we're thinking about change. How many want 2014 to be your best year so far? I mean, I'm giving you things you need for that to happen. It may not be what you want to hear. It may not be what you think you need to hear. But this is vital. This is essential. If this is not happening, I don't care about all your other plans and goals. You're not going to move forward in the things of God unless we get this straight right here. You're not going to be able to put on the new man unless you have this part right, the whole thing about renewing of the mind. All right, so to constantly renew your mind, there's basic things, there's vital things you need to do. Well, central to that is the Word. And if one of the things as a pastor, I'm concerned about your Word intake. How's your Word intake? How's your study of the Bible going? How is your learning program going? How is your feeding, program going with the Word? You're not going to have a strong spirit without the Word. You're not going to have your mind renewed without the Word. And the Bible even says He sent His Word and healed them. And you look at Proverbs, the Word of God impacts all parts of your being. Spirit, soul, and body. It's one of the best things you can take on a daily basis. So as the doctor of this church, are you taking your God's pills? And when you take your medicine, I mean, do you take it once a month? I mean, maybe there are certain things like that, but most of the time, it's something you take daily. They can't give you the super dose to fix everything. It's a daily thing. Boy, it's slippery up here. Wonder why. I apologize to the clean team, which I'm a part of, for the actions of my wife here. She'll be reprimanded later. Reprimanded. So just for a moment, let's just go back over the word, because you need to be reminded of this. Let's look at Matthew 4, verse 4. And I'll read from the Message translation. And because I'm just telling you, it's just so easy to let things slip. It's so easy to get sloppy. It's so easy to let things slide. It's so easy to live in the past. And I don't want your glory days to have been 10 years ago. I don't want your glory days to be five. I don't even want your glory days to be a year from now. I want your glory days to be in the future. Matthew 4:4 says this. Jesus answered by quoting Deuteronomy, "It takes more than bread to stay alive. It takes a steady," look at the words here, "a steady stream of words from God's mouth." Not just a one-time dose. And if you're here today, I mean, great. Check off that box. That's a good habit. Coming to church on Sunday. But if this is the only dose you're getting of God's Word, even though it's good, I don't think it's enough for you to be healthy, to transform your mind, to be able to know what is the perfect, acceptable, in God's will. And I'm sad to say, you know, we live in America and we're a very blessed nation. And part of that is because we're based on godly principles. So I meet a lot of people who are in church who have good lives. God's blessed them and, you know, good things going on in their home. But they haven't the foggiest idea about what God's will is for their lives. See how powerful that is? They don't have a clue. They're just living the American dream. And the American dream may or may not involve God. And so if you just want to live life and live like the world, then you don't need a daily dose of the Word. I mean, you can come just on Sunday or every so often. I mean, we have 300-something more people in church. I've just noticed over the last several years, attendance is really low. Attendance has dropped, even though we have more people in the church. It's just the emphasis on hearing isn't like it maybe once was in people's lives. I'm just making a natural observation. And that's, you know, just something you have. I mean, that's between you and God. I mean, I'm not the judge. But I just think for people, you've lost your passion for the Word. The Word of God has become something that's common. It doesn't really, I mean, what does it really mean? Is it that important? Let's look at our schedule. Let's look at our lives. Are you passionate about the Word? Are you, you know, do you get hungry during the day for natural food? Do you get hungry for God's Word? Which is more important, really, than physical food? Aren't you glad you're here today? Now, I'm telling you these things because I love you, because, you know, I want you to make changes, but without realizing some of these things, I mean, you can make all the changes you want. It's not going to stick. It's not going to last. It's going to be temporary. It's going to be as long as you can through your willpower. What does John 6:63 say? Chapter 6, verse 63. Message says this. The Spirit can make life. Sheer muscle and willpower doesn't make anything happen. Every word I've spoken to you is a spirit word. And so it's life-making. Life-giving. We say we want to give life. You can't do that without the Word being alive in you. New King James says, "My words are spirit and they are life." 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, Amplified says this, "And we also especially thank God continually for this, that when you have received the message of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of mere men, but as it truly is, the word of God, which is effectually at work in you who believe, exercising its superhuman power." Woo! Have you shouted yet in 2014? Superhuman power. Go ahead and say that. Superhuman power. Superman and Batman have nothing on us. But if you want to have superhuman power, you got to have the fuel and the ingredients to walk in that. Now, Hebrews 4, verse 12. "For the word that God speaks is alive." It's a living thing. Man's words may or may not be living. Other people's words, it may not be alive. It may be full of death. But God's word is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, the soul, and the immortal spirit, and the joints and the marrow. Look at all three parts of man. The deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. Without the Word continually coming into our lives, we get squirrely. We get flaky. We believe the wrong things. We're led by emotions and feelings and circumstances and other people's opinions. And those are all good things. But if it's not, you know, I've been to a counselor, marriage counselor, went for 2 years. Great. Sessions, and I mean, some I got mad. I mean, a couple of them I slammed the door and walked out. But it was really good. Susie, we're working out some things in our marriage. But that wouldn't have been effective or efficient in our lives had I not been feeding on the Word. What the Word does, it's able to take the natural things that we're doing, and it shows you what's truth and what's reality, and you're able to pull those things in, because everything that's being said and happening out here is not truth. So we were able to, the things that were happening, and it was godly, the person was a believer, but there was theories and psychology and all kind of ideas, but we're able to take and sift through all the things being said and get to the truth. And we're able to do that because Susie was in the Word and I was in the Word. It's a part of it. And we're able to find truth and able to get answers. So anything we're doing, I'm all for all the other things you can do. But you've got to continually be feeding on the Word. That's why you need a good church. We're all about the new man. We're all about the new creation. And we actually know what we're talking about here. We do. We understand it. And we're trying to feed you a diet so that you can put on the new man and live to the potential that God has for you. Now we're offering a lot more than you're partaking of. And that's between you and God, but don't go before God and say, "Pastor Matt didn't provide opportunities for me to grow spiritually." Don't use that, because it ain't going to work. It ain't going to fly. We're given opportunities. We have special meetings, special speakers. We got school for life. We have Sunday. We have Wednesdays. Prayer. And you, and again, I'm not getting back into heaping on condemnation because that's not what we do here. But I'm just telling you, these things are available. And you know, let me just get down here where I can kind of see the whites in your eyes. You know, have you gotten sloppy, Georgette, Neil, Harry, Wesley? So easy to get sloppy. But I tell you what, how you know if you are, is fruit being produced in your life? Or are you just kind of conforming to the world and trying to live the American dream? If that's what you want to do, that's fine. But that's not a life giver that we're trying to produce here. Our mission here at Good News Church is empowering people to give life. I'm not just trying to produce people that are blessed and healed and prospered financially, and your home is all sweet and nice. I mean, I do want that. But I want you to have a purpose. God's got a purpose for your life. And we're trying to produce life givers. Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly, and we're to take that mission for ourselves, and we're here. See, we represent Jesus on the earth. The new man is in Christ. We're Jesus. It sounds so crazy, but we really are God and Jesus to the world. And I'm trying to help you fulfill your part in the kingdom. I want you blessed. I want your bills paid. But I want you to know that all of this has a higher purpose. We have a higher purpose. And when you're giving into the church, you're giving into that vision and that mission. You're giving into to the guy next to you so he can have his mind renewed and transformed. So I'm kind of getting in your face a little bit today. I know you're quiet and, you know, thinking about this, and it is the new year. But I really want us to get off on the right track and the right footing for 2014. And I think I need to probably get in your face a little bit. Maybe I need to step on your toes a little bit. Maybe I need to kind of egg you on a little bit, because the best of us can get slappy. The best of us can operate on fumes. The best of us can live on old revelation. Old revelation is good, but I mean, God, He wants it to be fresh. I want my testimony. Thank God for all. I mean, I was just even today, I was kind of meditating on some things that God has done in my life. But I don't want that to be my testimony. I want my testimony fresh. What's He doing this week? What's He doing today? Jesus went about doing good and healing all those that are oppressed by the devil, for God was with Him. God's with me. His power is alive on the inside of me. I mean, where I go, Jesus goes. And if I'm full of the Word, I'm speaking life. My words contain life. My words contain light. Healing, provision, protection, peace. So if the Word has become common, if the Word has become boring, if the Word has become unexciting, I just want to just challenge you to just kind of go inside and just make a little, you know, tweak, change your mind, repent. And because, I mean, these are the words of God. These are words as if Jesus Himself were standing there and talking to me. These words are life. These words are spirit. What do you got in here, Nate? I don't need to shake it too much. Susie's rubbing off on you. No. This is the will of God. Lamp unto our feet. Light. Revelation. You know how much power we've got in our hands? Previous generations have not had. Do you see how this generation can be the glorious church? Do you see how this generation can usher in the return of Jesus? Can you see how this generation, how we can have an army, a family of new men, people recreated, filled with the Spirit of God? Do you see how we can have life givers just change every nation, every city, every town? Do you see how it can happen? But you've got to put value on it. It's got to be something that's precious. And it is daily. We feed our bodies daily, 3 times a day. And really, we're not a religion, but other religions, I mean, they're praying 5 times a day or whatever. I mean, and they don't have the truth. And we can barely get you to pray once a week. I mean, it's an indictment on the church. And again, you're blessed being here, and you're blessed people. I know you, but I mean, I just think God's got more. I think God's got more for you and your family. And I'm not telling you any amount or amount of time. I do know this. When I first got saved, when I was 19, man, I was on fire. I was the only student that I knew of on a campus of 16,000 people. I carried my big St. Joseph Bible with me everywhere I went. Here comes the guy with the big Bible. Class, walking around. I mean, I just immediately started reading the book of Matthew and started highlighting and thinking, what can I do? I don't even know how I got that. I said, what can I do? Reading it and then acting on it. And then I started making changes in my life as I saw them in the Word, as I was taught things. Read through the whole New Testament, then started with the beginning of Genesis, read through the entire Bible, went back to Matthew, started reading it again. I mean, I was just hungry. Remember those days, Eddie? Hungry for it. You had to have it. Now we're more... Oh, this is really... I hope it's not condemning. This is really convicting. We're just more excited about our coffee now. My Starbucks coffee. Man, gotta have it! My Java! Woo! Gotta have it. It's so exciting. Man, I got it. So, no, we need to put nipples on there. and if that's... I'm getting carried away with my... Whatever. You see, Nate had his illustrations. This is all I have. So I got to milk this. I want you to get excited about your Word. You can have your coffee. I'm not saying that you can have your coffee. But let's get excited about the Word of God. We got tea up here, and Nate's got trash over there, and I'm talking about nipples, and I don't know. The Bible, this is important for putting on the new man. The Bible is broken up into the Old Testament and the New Testament. That's good, isn't it? Okay. It's the Old Testament and the New Testament. Old Covenant, New Covenant. Now, the Old Testament obviously talks about the fall of man. It talks about various, prophets and different people that God's working with in the earth. It talks about Israel, the law, all these different things. But basically, I mean, this is real general. The Old Testament is pointing us to Jesus. Right? It's pointing us to the Messiah. In fact, the Jewish people, they're still looking for the Messiah. That's what it's pointed towards, looking for that day when the Messiah comes. And there's a lot of good principles in the Old Testament, and there's types and shadows and stories that are great as they're applied with the New Testament. Then you've got what? The Gospels. You've got the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the book of Acts. Now, the Gospels are the life story of Jesus, from His birth to death to resurrection. Then you have the book of Acts, which is the history of the early church. Basically, you know, a lot of it's on Paul, Peter and Paul, to the end of Paul when he dies, the early church. But in the other part of the New Testament, a good part of the rest of the New Testament is what we call the Pauline revelation. We call it the epistles. See, it's in this part. See, let's just say, take Isaiah out of the Old Testament. He's looking forward. He got revelation about Jesus, right? Then the Gospels is a revelation of God. It's a revelation of God's grace. It's a revelation of Jesus. And really, the purpose of the Gospels is to have us believe in God and believe in Jesus. But Paul's revelation, Paul got the revelation of the new man. And so, if we're going to be taking the Word in, and here's things we do with the Word, we read it, we hear it, we meditate on it, we speak it, right? Those are the primary things we do with the Word of God. But I'm suggesting to you for 2014 that you spend some time in Paul's epistles, because you can't put on the new man, which really, when we're talking about the new man, we're talking about who we are in Christ, which is our identity. We're talking about what we have in Christ, which is our inheritance. Then we have the third part, is what we can do, which is our authority. It's acting on the Word. It's giving life. It's really the purpose. So what I'm suggesting to you is spend some time in Paul's writing in 2014. Spend some time finding out who you are, what you have, and what you can do. And I would suggest starting with God's Electric Power Company. You know what I mean by that? God's Electric Power Company. God's Galatians, Electric Ephesians, Power Philippians, Company Colossians. I would say, if you're looking for something to study, start reading those four books and get the revelation that Paul got on the new man. If you want to put on the new man, you got to find out what the new man is. I'm going to help you in the next few weeks. I'm going to help you with your study. But I recommend you go ahead and just jump the gun here. Start today. Start tomorrow. Start reading those. And then start looking in there specifically on what Paul says. Now, it wasn't revealed to Matthew. It wasn't revealed to Mark. It wasn't revealed to Luke. It wasn't revealed to Peter. All these different guys, they were revealed certain things, and they wrote those things down. Paul, just a few times, refers to the Gospels, because he had a revelation of who we are in Christ. So you have Isaiah looking to the cross. You have the Gospels talking about what happened at the cross, the events. But then you have Paul now looking back to the cross with the revelation of what does that mean? What does that mean when stripes were laid on his back? What does that mean when he was on the cross? What does that mean when he died? What does that mean when he was raised on the third day? You see what I'm saying? And I'm just saying, you know, it's fine to read the Ten Commandments. Go ahead and read it. Read the book of Revelation. Study those things. All of the Word of God is profitable. But I'm just telling you, if you're just going to meditate on the Ten Commandments, it's not going to produce the new man. You can't get the new man out of the Ten Commandments. And this is really the problem we have with the church. We're focused on the wrong things. We're trying to produce all this power when we're focused on the wrong things. We've got to be focused on the guy that brought the revelation of who we are. And that's Paul. And so I would recommend, feed on that. If you want to be the new man, if you want to be the new creation, if you want to be a son and daughter of God, feed on the revelation that will produce that in your life. Then you take that on purpose and you wash your mind with it. You listen to it. You look at it. You study it. You speak it. You meditate on it. You're already meditating on something. Every day you are. I recommend you meditate, part of your meditation, be on this new man. Because when you do this, if you put in healing scriptures, what does it produce? Healing. If you put in provision scriptures, what does that produce?
Prosperity.
Well, I'm saying to you, if we're going to be life givers, we're going to have to put the new man, revelation, that word in our hearts continually. If we're going to be a church of life givers, if we're going to be a church that's going to impact our community, if you're going to impact your world, you're going to have to put on that new man. So we're going to have to feed on that. Feed on that, then it will produce the new man. Y'all seeing this? I know I'm just saying some simple things today that we've talked about, but I'm stirred up about it. And I'm concerned about some people because I feel like they may be kind of getting off track. I feel like they're kind of conforming to the world. I think they're getting wrapped up in the American dream, which is great. I mean, it's from God. But it's not all it is, because what happens when you conform to the world, you start getting selfish. And things start to get to be about me. And then you start to get, you know, led by your soul and your flesh. And when you're led by your soul, the sad thing about it, you don't only just impact your world, you impact all those around you. And you don't want to have a soul led, as strong as your mind can be, you don't want to have a soul led household. You don't want to have a household that's led by taste and touch and feelings. We want our household, and so we're talking about the mighty men, husbands, fathers. Come on, I'm looking to you for leadership. I'm looking for you to be the guy to get up out of bed and go to church, whether anybody else goes or not. I'm looking for you to be the guy that will pray and seek God and study the Word. I'm speaking to everybody, but sometimes it just seems like in churches, women are more spiritual. And I don't want that at Good News Church. I want the men and the women strong. I don't want the women to be carrying all the praying and all the studying and everything else. I want everybody doing their part. So it's time. Make some adjustments. Young people, come on now. You're just going to be like everybody else? You're going to try to dress like everybody else and act like everybody else and fit in? You don't want to fit in. Where's that taking them? Come on, guys. Where's the passion for the things of God gone? Where's the desire for the Word gone? Used to love it. Used to just drive half across the country to get to a meeting. Spend all kind of money to be in meetings. Why? You wanted to hear the Word. We've just gotten watered down. Watered down with just the world. The world has mingled with the world and learned their ways, and it becomes a trap to you. Pastor Matt. Just can't let me go, can you? Can't let me just leave me be. Well, I love you too much. Care about you too much. God's got great things for you. I believe 2014 is going to be one, as I already said, extraordinary year. But we're not going to be extraordinary feeding on mediocre. We are not going to be feeding on mediocre. See, a lot of the change in behavior comes from the meditation, comes from the hearing. It produces the power to change. Right? You want to repent. Those times you repent, maybe you're in a meeting, you repent. Why do you repent? You hear the word. It brings conviction. And you repent. You change your mind. You want to change your mind, not for the sake of changing, change your mind because the Holy Spirit's leading you based on the Word of God. Because the Word is truth. The Word of God is reality. What does it say in Philippians 4, verse 8? Whatever is pure and perfect and lovely and of good report, meditate on these things. What is Joshua 1:8, the book of the law? Shall not depart out of my mouth. Shall meditate on it day and night. So your assignment this week, Nate, was the assignment last week? Repent. Repent. Repent, renew, and repeat. Well, I'm just going to go ahead and give you something to renew your minds with. I just encourage you to God's Electric Power Company. God's Electric Power Company. God's Electric Power Company. Find yourself. Find yourself. And then, you know, start your day off with, you know, Breakfast of Champions. Start your day off with that and start thinking about it during the day. And I tell you, you know, you start out that way. It's like you look at your day, the whole. Instead of just letting life happen to you, you make things happen. The new man, life doesn't just happen to him. The new man makes life, makes things happen, creates things. The new man, I mean, and I'm going to, I don't know how many I'll get into, but I was thinking like 10 revelations of the new man. Maybe we'll get into that. I don't know. We'll just see where we'll go with it, but. You know, you start thinking, you know, today, like, I'm a son and daughter of God. I'm a son of God. The Spirit of God lives in me. The Spirit of God lives in me. I mean, that's time for another, woohoo, yeehaw, whatever you want. I mean, God lives in me. God lives in you. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in the inside of me. That was a silent woo. Like you said, I can lay hands on the sick and expect them to recover.
Yes.
Now this is going to be fun. I can cast out devils. You may not be at this level yet, but you can cast out I'm giving you a word, brother. No. Cast out devils. Speak in new tongues. I'm one of those tongue talkers. And I'm not embarrassed by it. But I don't go out just shouting in tongues, walk into Walmart or Target and start shouting out in tongues. That's weird. If he tells me to do it, Anthony, I'll do it. But I can pray in tongues, speak in tongues. God praying through me the perfect will of God.
Yes.
See, the new man already has faith. The new man already has grace. The new man already has love. The new man already has peace. The new man already has provision. The new man already has healing. We just have to learn how to tap into it and bring it from the inside of us into this natural realm. And we do that through faith, through believing, and through speaking, and through acting. I'm just so animated right now. I just kind of... What's been that coffee I had this morning? Sis, I don't know what you sprinkled up here, but I just feel different. This stuff is good up here. Every Sunday I want you to put some up here now. Praise God.